Okay, last week when we did the Q&A, I told you the story of my meeting Leanne and that whole, what happened there, what God was doing with me. And the process of my having to give her to God, that whole scenario. So, and then we began to date, Leanne and I did, after that process. And in the process of our doing that, what if I was unwilling to really commit my life to her? Or what if she was unwilling to really commit her life to me? If you date and 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 one of the parties will not commit, it's time to move on. There's a point at which, in the beginning, okay, fine, but there comes a point at which you're going to commit or you're not. And if you're not, you know what? The whole point of dating is to determine marriage. To decide, okay, is this somebody I'm supposed to marry or not? And if there's a marriage is commitment. And if there is no commitment and there's no sign of it coming, it's time to look for somebody else. A boyfriend or a girlfriend is nothing more than a step toward marriage. It's a step toward the goal, but a boyfriend or a girlfriend is not actually the goal. You don't want to spend your life just having a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Okay. You got that picture. Jesus is not looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend. He's not looking for that kind of relationship. He's looking for commitment. John 2, verses 23 through 25. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about it, man. For he himself knew what was in man. Okay, so Jesus is in Jerusalem. It's the Passover. And this may be during the same time when he cleansed the temple, because that was during Passover also, which was the previous story that we looked at. He is apparently doing signs, because it mentions them in verse 23. That's why the people believed. They believed because of the signs that he was doing. Signs are miracles. He's doing some miracles. And many people see those miracles and they believe in him because of the miracles. And they like Jesus. They have become fans of Jesus. They even believe in him in some sense. That's what verse 23 says. It says, many believed in his name. But Jesus, it says, does not entrust himself to them. He doesn't really want, he doesn't want anything to do with them, so to speak. And it tells you why. It says, because he knew them. He knows what is in their heart. So then here are a bunch of people that are on Jesus' side. They're believing in him. They're on his side. Why does he not trust people who are on his side? That's what's going on. Why does he not trust people who believe in him. These people are probably praising him. These people are probably speaking well of him. But Jesus pulls back. Why? You know, while it is true they do like Jesus, they're also shallow. While it is true they do believe in some way, in some sense, their belief is shallow. They are like crowds of people cheering as an army marches through the street that just liberated their city from, you know, the Nazis, let's say, or from some, you know, oppressive government. And the army just freed them. And they're cheering and they're cheering, but they wouldn't go fight. But they're very happy for, you know, these good things that have come. They are like the people that Jesus is not entrusting himself to. They are like a boyfriend who will not commit. That's what they're like. He likes the girl. He really does like the girl. He believes many good things about the girl. But he won't give his life to the girl. He believes, but he won't commit. His belief is shallow. And that is the way many people respond to Jesus. There are lots of people who really like Jesus. They are fans who cheer him on, but they won't become soldiers. They are girlfriends who praise him, but they won't commit to following him. And so, guys, Jesus is not looking for fans. He's looking for disciples. He wants men and women who will follow him. Jesus is not looking for a girlfriend. He wants someone who will commit. When you believe Jesus, you need to go all the way. You give your life to him. You say, "This is the man I want to follow. I'm going to follow him." And sometimes that can be expensive to do that. But that's what he wants. Jesus is not supposed to be just a boyfriend you like. He's supposed to be your Lord that you follow. And there's a big difference. He's looking for people who will pay a cost. People who will give their life. He's not looking for a summer soldier or a sunshine patriot. He's looking for someone who will be a soldier when it's hard, too. And he's looking for this kind of commitment because, here's why he wants this kind of commitment. It's because that's the commitment he was willing to make for you. You know, when you make the kind of commitment that Jesus made, you want that from the people. Jesus was willing to give his life as a ransom for many. He was willing to die for you and for me. And he did it to set us free. He was willing to pay a great cost to bring you and me to God. That's what he was willing to do. Okay, do you know what that is? That's commitment. He's committed to you. He really is. And because of that, he wants that from you. And his actions show his commitment. And it's the same with us. Your actions will show your commitment. That's how it is with everything. Commitment in words only is not really commitment. Commitment goes beyond words. You have to actually do, obey, take action on behalf of whatever you're committed to. But if you want to just remain in, we'll call it a dating relationship with Jesus, you know, no commitment, I can get out anytime I want, he will not entrust himself to you. Because that's just not what he's looking for. He wants more from you than that. So, commit yourself. What's that look like? It may look like baptism if you've not been baptized. Take that step. That is actually a step of commitment, is what that is. Read his word daily. Spend time learning what God says in his book. Get to know him and get to know his word, his book. Tell your friends, tell your family about him. That's a commitment when you start taking action. Those are actions. You start taking steps like that. Serve him in some way in the church. Find a way to serve him and step up and say, okay, I'd like to do this. Give to him your time, your finances, which are his finances anyway. Jesus wants your life, not just your applause. That's so many people just want to clap at Jesus and then go home at what Jesus did. And Jesus did lots of things to clap at, for sure. He's a wonderful Savior. But he's the Lord. And he wants you to make him that. Lots of people are saying, yay, Jesus. Go, Jesus. We like Jesus. But they won't give their life to him. They don't follow him. They won't obey him. But they'll cheer him on. Jesus is not interested in that. Now, these people in John 2 at the Passover who believe Jesus, it tells us why they believe Jesus. They saw the signs, miracles. And they're just, that's all they're doing. They're looking at signs. They're looking at, it's like the wow factor, right? Their belief consists of, wow, look at that. That's what their belief consists of. And some people today are still like that. There are people today who maybe Jesus heals them, or maybe Jesus heals a loved one of theirs. And they say, wow, that's great. Praise the Lord. Look what Jesus did. But they won't commit. And that's not what Jesus is looking for. For some people today, their belief is just intellectual. It's up in their head and nowhere else. They say, I believe Jesus died for my sins, and I believe Jesus rose from the dead, but it's just a dry teaching that stays up here and never gets into their heart, and it never changes their life. It's just a fact that they agree with, nothing more. It's like
knowledge.
It's knowledge, that's right. It's knowledge. It's not anything other than knowledge. Knowledge is good, but knowledge needs to affect the heart. Knowledge that stays in the head and doesn't affect the heart isn't really worth much. At least when we're talking about Jesus. It's like my saying, I believe George Washington was the first president of the United States. Now, is that a true belief? Yes, he was the first president of the United States. That is a correct belief. But it doesn't change how I live. It's just something I believe is true, and it stays in my head, and I'm not giving my life to George Washington. I'm not changing anything in my life because I believe that. Guys, Jesus wants you to give to him your heart, not just your head. And he wants to change how you live. Some people have not committed themselves to Jesus because they don't understand that that's what he wants. They think it's okay to just believe some things and maybe go to church or read the Bible and then go live their life any way they want to live their life. And never pay any cost. That's not the way it works. Some people understand the cost, but they haven't committed because of the cost. Because it can be hard. Because sometimes Jesus asks you to do hard things. Because they don't want to change their life. They like their life the way it is. Now, I will say this, when Jesus changes your life, it's different, for sure, but it's so much better. It's way better. But it's hard as well. But that's how life is. The best things are the hardest things. But make no mistake, when you do have saving faith in Jesus, you change. You really do change. You notice it inside you. You're different from what you used to be. And you change because you commit. It's like everything else. You know, the strongest marriages are the marriages with the strongest commitment. Commitment makes a marriage stronger. The best sports teams are the teams whose players are committed to the success of the team. If you have players who are not committed to the success of the team, don't be surprised if the team doesn't succeed. There needs to be a certain level of commitment there. The best parents are the parents who are committed to the well-being of their children. This is how life is. So, you want to follow Jesus? Commit to him. From the heart, It's not just a head game. Christianity is not a head game, guys. It's a life. You know, Jesus said you to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Okay, the mind's there. He wants your mind. There's an intellectual component, but it's everything. And so you commit to him from the heart. And here's the thing. Jesus sees your heart. And when you commit to him, he commits to you. He's already committed to you in one sense. He's already gone to the cross for you and for me. He's already done that. But if you don't commit to Jesus, to following him, maybe you're not following him. That's part of what it means. And don't think he doesn't see. Verse 24. It says, but Jesus on his part did not entrust himself to them. Why? Because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. He knows all people. That means you and me. He doesn't need anyone to tell him about man. That's verse 25. He knows what is in man. Jesus doesn't need anyone to tell him what your mom is like. He knows your mom better than you know your mom. Jesus doesn't need anyone to tell him what your brother is like, or your best friend is like, or your children are like, or your sister is like, or anybody else. He doesn't need anyone to tell him, hey, let me tell you what you know, my son is like, Jesus. He knows what is in them. Jesus doesn't need anyone to tell him what is in your heart. He knows what is in your heart better than you do. And he knows your heart so well that he can tell you things about your heart that you don't even know yourself. He can teach you about your heart. He knows what is in man. He knows what is in you. What that means is you can't fool him. You can't play games with God. I'll put it that way. You can play games with people, and you can fool people all the time. But that doesn't work with God. You can, with people, you can talk a good talk about Jesus. And you can be a Jesus fan, and you can praise him with your lips, but never follow him. And people won't know. They may not know. Sometimes people can tell. Just depends on the person and, you know, how you act and so on. But with Jesus, that doesn't work. You can do that and never really follow him and never really commit to him and never really give him your heart or your life. And he sees it. He just sees it. He's God. He knows all. And you will not get away with playing those games with Jesus. He sees it. Here's the deal. Here's what Jesus wants. Jesus wants you. Not just nice words. He wants you. And he knows the difference between getting you and just getting nice words. getting praise. He can tell. And when you commit, what happens is you give to Jesus you. It's, you know, when a guy commits to a girl for marriage, she gets him. And when she commits, he gets her. You get all of you. And that's what Jesus is looking for. And when you do that, here's what he gives you. He gives you himself. The thing that he wants from you is the thing that he actually gives to you. It's just like a marriage. In fact, in the New Testament, the church is called the bride of Christ. In Ephesians 5, Paul says that marriage is just Christ in the church. A husband and a wife is sort of acting out what a relationship with God is supposed to be like. And so Jesus wants you to be part of his bride. And not just a girlfriend who has some interest. He wants so much more. So then, what does commitment look like for you? I told you it involves action. Commitment is taking real steps. And sometimes it can be scary. Maybe it's baptism. Maybe it's you start giving. Maybe it's there's a place you need to serve. Maybe it's you need to tell some other people. Maybe it's something else. I don't know what it looks like for you. But I want to do this. I want you to think of one step that moves you toward more commitment to Jesus. What is that step that moves you in that direction toward more commitment? Then I'm going to ask you to pray, to ask for God's help in carrying out that step. Because here's the thing of it. If you think that you're just going to, I'm going to do it, you're not going to do it. In order to do it, you need God's help. You need him to help you do it. You're weaker than you think. And that's why we need God. And so he wants your heart, he wants your life, he wants your soul, but that sometimes we hesitate in doing that because we're weak. We really are. And so just ask for his grace to commit yourself to Jesus and to what that involves. But then you're committing yourself also. When you ask for his grace, what you're doing is you're committing yourself to allowing him to work his power in you, to do his will. So that's how we're going to close. So think of one step that you need to take that moves you in the direction of commitment to him. And then let's ask for God's grace to do that.